Warning, this podcast is not affiliated with Fox, Next Level Chef, the contestants, or its production. Hey, it's Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat with you all about Next Level Chef Season 3. Each week, we will break down every episode to chat about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to
happen. Okay, so Gabby, it is super exciting to talk to you. I was rooting for you all the way.
Really? Are you saying that or you mean that?
Well, I was rooting for Vaughn initially because I thought Vaughn was badass. He knew what was going on. But the whole time you were sort of like, I was like, but this would be really cool if Gabby wins because she's like, you were kind of under the radar for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel that way. It feels like the first few, you know, you got to get a footing, your footing in that environment. I feel like it's new. And, you know, someone like Vaughn, he's got flair, he's got style, he's got attitude, he's got this, like, I know what I'm doing. And I'm more like, I kind of entered like a cat. I'm like, all right, I got to, like, suss it out, see what's going on, get the hang of it, get the jitters out. And then, you know, sometimes it takes time.
What was it like? Were you a fan of this show prior to getting onto this show, or how did this kind of happen for you?
It's really funny. I'd say that I became familiar with the show because I am friends with and befriended someone from last season, Rini Kareem. I saw she had gone into it, and it's funny because it's kind of a convoluted timeline, but I had originally been asked to be on season two by a friend of mine who I met freshman year at Penn State, and she's a casting director now in LA. And she asked me to be on season two, and I was like, I'm not ready yet. I've never watched the show.
Right.
It was totally new to me. And then flash forward, I had befriended Rini at some point that year. We met at like an event. And I saw she had been on it, and I was like, oh, so cool. And so that's kind of how I became familiar with the show, was watching her journey. And that was what made me, coincidentally, you know, next year, my friend's working on the show again. She's like, hey, coincidentally, you know, she's contract worker. It doesn't always happen. And she's like, but this is your shot. And I was like, all right, I'd be dumb not to take
it
up on
it. Well, it's one thing to watch it on television, right? And then it's a whole other thing to be in it. And plus, I feel like the season had like a unique twist where you were on the show, but you actually weren't really on the show. There were still auditions going on, right? What was whole thing like? And then getting selected by the team. And it seems like it was a lot of things that happened.
I feel like it was nothing. It's so different than last season. And obviously the concept remains the same. But the challenge is, I mean, when you're talking 15 minutes difference to cook a dish, that is major, like huge. And so I remember when I first got asked to, or when like the final decision came out, and I mean, they tell you like week and a half out, like you find out and then you go. It's really quick. So I basically found out, and I remember going, and like I was still catching up on some of the seasons. I was like, okay, I need to like do my homework. And I remember that first time watching it with the perspective of knowing I was going to do it, and I started crying because the reality set in of the fact that I was like, I'm going to go have to do this. And then of course they add in the twist, and you know, we had some heads up that there was going to be auditions, and that was really nerve-wracking because I'm in this weird category too, where, you know, am I a pro, am I a social media chef? And at the end of the day, I'm fresh green out of a vegan culinary school.
Right. Yeah.
And like, am I a pro chef? But I didn't feel like one necessarily going into this competition. Or at least, you know, I felt like social media resonated with me more. I'm known for my role in Epicurious. So it just felt like a way more comfortable fit in that regard. But yeah, it was definitely a lot to just take in and then realize, like, okay, this, I'm that's gonna be me. The people I'm watching right now is what's next.
What I love about you too is that what one of the reasons why I was rooting for you is that you were just always very laser focused. I mean, you just said that you didn't consider yourself a pro, but you walked through the kitchens. I mean, and this is not like a normal kitchen restaurant. This is like running after ingredients and then running to a platform and watching. So it's a little bit different than the normal restaurant, but you were able to just like rock it and maintain, you know, patience and do what you had to do. How do you do that inside a competition like this?
I think that it really boils down to the years of experience I've had. My whole, every job I've ever done has been sort of high pressure. You know, prior to cooking, I was in production. I was a producer. And so, I mean, when you're dealing with a whole set full of people and if something goes wrong, it's your fault, then you have to be the calm among the storm, because if you are the person who's freaking out, then other people freak out. You kind of have to be that rock for everyone. And so I needed to just be the rock for myself in this situation. And, you know, even in my culinary journey, I was green, but I was always learning, and I had worked on the line for a hot minute. I had worked service and prep and done, you know, some pop-up dinners that were scrappy as hell. And you really need to just, you have to focus. And the thing that I always realized, and the thing that always kind of got me through it, is if you just take it, you know, inch by inch, and don't look at it as this big behemoth thing. And it's like, it's 30 minutes of cooking.
Right.
And if you really try, and if you just reframe it, it could be fun, you know?
Totally.
Like, there is something inherently so fun about it. The pressure comes from the fact that there's this, like, massive, you know, life-changing event that happens at the end if you perform well. And so the
right.
pressure is the part that makes it not fun. But inherently, if someone's like, you got 30 minutes to take all whatever ingredients and figure something out, and if you can just kind of choose to have fun and make it joyful, then I feel like, it, you know, you end up having that level of focus because the pressure's off.
There were some hits and misses for you in the kitchen in some of the dishes, but pretty much always consistent. What were some of the dishes that where you were maybe concerned, uh-oh, I might not make it past this, and also ones that you were the most proud of?
Yeah, it's funny because you always, they always kind of are like, aren't you worried about this? So you're like, I wasn't until you said that.
Right, exactly.
And so there are some dishes that, you know, I felt good about. And then so I think the worst one was definitely my sushi bento box day.
It looked horrific. I'm so sorry. I mean,
it was
so gigantic. You know what?
Oh, can I clarify my vision for that?
Gabby, have you had sushi before?
So I had this vision of what I did bento box day that bit me in the ass and made me, any time that I underperformed, whatever, definitely came from overthinking it. Because bento box day, my sushi roll, I had this vision. I was like, I'm going to do an inside out roll and I'm going to have this beautiful sushi and torched on top. It's going to be great. And then in my brain, I was like, oh, I want to do like a futomaki. I love kimbap, like Korean style. And
yeah.
Korean style kimbap is like big.
Sure.
It's full. It's hearty. But then as I'm trying to execute this, I'm like, wait, I can't both do an inside out roll with sushi and have it be big. It doesn't work. And so it's like in the moment, I'm like scrambling and realizing like, okay, well, I have no choice. And it was just one of those dishes that, and same thing with my tempura batter. I was like, oh, I made this on Epicurious. I worked with a like tempura expert.
Yeah.
I know how to make this batter, but then I overthought it. And then I used like mushrooms, the thing that like of all things will just disintegrate over
right.
time. So it was the sushi was just an absolute, like, as I was plating it, I'm like, I know this is bad. And I like, there's nothing I can do about it. And it was tough, but I feel like it was a really good reminder to me. And I needed that to just be like, stick to what you know, do what you need to do. You have 30 minutes. Like, you can't create some like visionary insane thing in 30 minutes. You just have to like make the flavors good, make it pop, do something you know, complete, especially when you're doing six elements in one box.
I'm always curious by people who wind up winning competitions about their strategy. And I think it's usually a bit of the level-headedness to see all the big characters, you know, that are on the show already. And or people that maybe even try to do something that's like totally out of their lane. You know what I mean? But what was your strategy in winning?
I think,
because at some point you have to realize like you're close to this. You know, you have the sushi debacle and it's like whatever, you bounce back from it. And it's like then from that point on, you're like very consistently always delivering.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that was the biggest thing is not letting that pressure get to me. And it's funny, after I got top dish on Kombucha Day, even though I got top dish, I was headed to the top kitchen. I got the time token. I literally that night was at my lowest the whole competition. Mm. I just felt this insane pressure of like, I've gotten, that was my fourth top dish, like, or third, whatever number. I was like, it's so easy to slip into that. Like, I'm gonna mess up because I've been doing so consistently well now. There's this like almost this human fault I think we have sometimes of just like, it can't be that good. It can't be that easy, like to just keep going and keep climbing. And I had to just like shove that down and be like, no, you're gonna go in there and you're gonna have fun. You're just going to enjoy it because at the end of the day, there's only a couple more times you're ever going to experience this again. And I think my strategy was really just trying to keep all of that pressure out of my head. And I think through the finale, I hope it comes off that you like, I am really cooking, you know, joyfully. I'm trying to just have fun and focus and like, in be present in that moment because it's so fleeting and then sure. It's over and that's it. And so my strategy really was just rooted in presence. Like just make the best out of this.
What was your approach going into the finale, to the final competition? I loved how you handled it. It was like almost like you had been so solid all the way through. And then you just like kicked it up into a whole other level of like timing and what you were delivering from the meatballs on. So, which looked incredible. And I would like to have them.
I was surprised by those meatballs because, you know, they're simple. There's something but they look simple, mm-hmm. I should say. But there's nothing really that the flavor wise, I think for me, it's just unlocking. My strategy was both like, okay, don't get caught up on the details because it's a mixture because it's about the details, right?
Yeah.
But for me, those details came down to the, what flavors am I pairing together? So those meatballs, I'm combining fresh caramelized peaches with lardons and I'm letting the peaches cook in that fat. And then I'm adding that into a pork meatball with black garlic and all these other really aromatic elements. And then it's the layering of the aromas and the aromatics in my dishes. And I think that was a big part of my strategy, was just maximizing as much flavor in a small amount of time, which you can do. And so by doing that, I ended up giving myself a lot of time.
Right.
And that time gave me the opportunity to just flow, because I feel like if I had to approach the next two floors behind it, that panic kind of sets in of like, someone else is ahead of me and someone else is going to have more time to execute their vision. And so I think just, it's kind of like, I remember I ran track in high school. And I always liked to be in the first lane or the furthest lane, even though that's like the farthest, but just the like mental note of being and starting ahead of everyone else. I think it just takes some of the pressure off. And it's like, all right, well, I'll catch up when I need to, if I need to.
That's amazing. That's a very good strategy. And so then you beat Zach, which is like, I thought like he was the front runner, and you get all the way to the end and they're about to say your name. And were you thinking in the moment when you're standing there waiting for the result?
If I'm being honest, I feel like I'm a big visualizer and I've visualized it a million times. And it's crazy. I get like emotional thinking about it, but it still was unlike anything I envisioned to have my name called. But I did. I played that scenario out in my head. I played them all out, but that was the one that really I clung to. And so when they called my name, it felt like it was almost from a dream. Like it felt like it was
You said that. You say that in the episode. I don't know if you've seen, you haven't seen it yet, but you say that. I mean, you were almost like Darcy for a minute there.
Yeah, absolutely. It did. It felt very dreamlike. And I, from my memory, I'm not kidding. I don't remember most of it. It was almost just like, it was the most out of body experience I think I've ever had, to be honest. It was amazing. And it was, and like you said, I mean, like going against chefs like Christina and Zach, like, yeah. I mean, it just meant so much to know that there was something in what I created and they saw the intentionality behind it. And that meant the world to me.
You're doing a show on Bites, right?
Bites.
What is it? Tell me about it. This is super exciting. This is a part of the mentorship.
Yeah.
I want everybody to go watch this because I saw a little bit of it today. It's so good. You're so great on camera and television too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's so cool to have this culminating moment of, you know, my passions. Like I was a journalist. That was what I did. And so to be able to sort of bring that into the culinary world and let those two worlds overlap is just like the coolest feeling. And so having this opportunity to basically, you know, the Bite series is called Gabby's Next Course. And so it's a little bit of a double entendre, like of course our course, and then course is an educational experience too. So this is my opportunity to take what I did and like come off of that winning moment and keep the momentum going, keep learning, keep being a sponge, keep having these experiences that are going to inherently make me a better chef. And that's really the goal, is I want people to come along on this journey with me, maybe learn about something that they've never thought of, maybe see different ways that they could incorporate these experiences into their own culinary experience, their culinary repertoire.
Sure.
And just allow people to, you know, be connected in that way and to watch as I continue on this next part of my career, which is just such an honor.
So besides the Bite show, what other things are you doing? Like what do you want to do next with all of this?
Oh, wow. I really want to me, it's kind of, I want to pay it forward in the sense of education. I feel like I have these amazing mentors. I've been mentored, you know, throughout my career. And to me, being able to sort of pay that back and allow other people to learn from me, like I'm, you know, anti-gatekeeping here. I want to give you every secret. I want people to be interested in what I'm interested in. And so for me, that looks like continuing to learn more maybe about the agricultural systems we have, more about where our food comes from. And as you know, I'm in my home state of Pennsylvania right now. And so just being connected to the seasons and seasonality of food is something I really want to share with people. And if that comes in different forms and shapes, like pop-ups or different experiences in different cities and seeing what that looks like in other places in the world, I think that's my goal, is I want to learn as much as possible. And I want to teach as much as possible too at this point.
And people can find you on Instagram or where can they follow along with your journey?
Yeah, find me at Gab Chappelle on Instagram. That's probably my most active platform, but I am hopefully getting the old YouTube up and running.
Nice.
This summer. And I am on TikTok. So yeah, you'll see my YouTube and that at Chef Chappelle. I'm also going to be posting a lot of my recipes on Pinterest too. So I know it's sort of this, like, I love Pinterest. It's absolutely my favorite platform. So I'm excited to be able to start being more active and sharing it sort of blog form worthy wise on that platform too.
Amazing. Well, you were absolutely amazing on this show. I loved watching you. I was really always rooting you on, and I'm so happy to be able to chat with you here. And much luck with your Bite show, and I will definitely follow you on Instagram and tell everybody to do it because you're just awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad we had the chance to chat. I'm really happy that I could clear up the gigantic sushi roll.
Yes.
debacle. It haunts me to this day, but you know, the intention was there.
I know. And it probably maybe it wasn't as bad as it looked.
And it probably was.
I'm trying to help. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I appreciate it. But hey, I think that's, you know, hey, the final word here is we got to fail to grow, right?
I was gonna say like, I mean, you just jumped forward after that. Like, it felt like it almost was like a moment where it felt like you said internally, like, I'm not gonna let that happen again. Like, you just like kicked it back into high gear or something at that point.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't learn from our mistakes, then they're wasted mistakes, right? I think
exactly.
We need mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, then it's just not possible. It's not, you're not pushing yourself hard enough, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, but thank you so much. This was awesome. I'm so glad we had the chance to chat and catch up. And let's stay connected.
Let's stay in touch. All right. Thanks so much. All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye.